I thought my story was different. And then once I realized, you know, my process was different, that's why exactly why I applied, because I was like, you know, maybe I can help expand someone. You know, my job maybe isn't to problem solve for every single person. Maybe my job is to problem solve myself so that I could expand other people so they know how to do it.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Welcome back to another process episode, which is where we showcase one of our pathway members who have gone on to manifest something extraordinary or big within their life, may it be career, home, relationship, financial. This has become one of your favorite podcast segments that we have, as we can tell by the numbers. And one commonality that I want to make that you'll begin to recognize each of these pathway members share in common from past episodes to new is that not one of them simply dipped their feet into the work or flirted with it. They went all in. I've been able to see this recently with my dad, who's doing the work. They sort of touch in, don't really do the DIs, do it once in a while, skip around the workshops without finishing them. Whereas what you'll listen to with each of these episodes, these are the people that started with how to manifest, moved into shadow, moved into inner child, did all of the workshops, listened to every one of the supported classes, which is our once a month class where Jessica and I go through in the pathway answering members' questions. And then they've gone on to listen to every podcast episode. That's what you will hear from each of the pathway members that we share on this. And not because we're only picking people who do that, the ones who actually manifest the big things, they go all in. And not only that, but once they've gone through the work and they get a baseline of it, they make it their own. So a past guest, Heather Whitaker, you heard that in the Deep Imaginings, she started out with them, listening to them, and they weren't as effective to her. So she figured out her own process that when she walks on hikes, she talks the prompts aloud. So she'll listen to them in her earbuds. Once she's heard the prompts, she then goes and talks out what's been prompted until she gets to the block, and then she reprograms it. And you have to imagine, even as you're walking and listening, you're in a hypnotic state because your brain, your conscious mind isn't flying around. You've now gone into an alpha or a theta. So that's what you'll also find in commonality with these members. They make it their own. They don't stop when they get a roadblock. They actually figure out their own way through it. Today will be no exception. So I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Jessica Gill, who you've heard on the Explained episodes and the Process episodes, as she highlights another really exciting member within the pathway and how they've gone on to manifest something extraordinary.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Process. Today we have Pathway member Asha Rose. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much, Jessica. I'm so excited and honored to be here, and I'm doing well, and I'm excited to tell my story and my process.
Yay! I'm so excited. So obviously, you're very familiar with the podcast and everything. So why don't we start off with what is your cultural background and upbringing?
I currently live in Los Angeles, but I was born in Moscow, Russia in the 80s. And I was 3 years old when we came over to the States. We came into New York and we were there for a few years. And then we moved to New Jersey, and I grew up in New Jersey mostly. I moved to Los Angeles on my own about 5 years ago. So I am a Scorpio sun, Scorpio moon, and Scorpio rising.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Intense. So triple Scorpio. I am a 2-5 projector with emotional authority. So growing up in a Russian household was really interesting because being someone who's such an intense water sign, like a Scorpio, and having emotional authority and being a projector, I would feel things very, very deeply. So I would have a lot of emotions about things. And growing up in a Russian household, Russians don't really address emotions the way that we're taught to now. The way that my parents raised me, it was more like I would cry about a lot of stuff. And they were like, don't cry, you know, don't get upset about things. Don't cry. It makes people look weak. Just stay strong. Stay stoic. Being someone who's extra emotional, who's a Scorpio, who's an emotional projector. And then I had this upbringing where I was constantly told
the opposite, really.
The complete opposite. Yeah, like, you know, just stay strong, stay stoic, don't get upset. Like, being upset is a sign of weakness. And the only emotions that you're really allowed to show that much are anger. There's kind of like this underlying sense of like, we don't really want to talk about things. So we just brush everything under the rug. Since I'm the oldest, my parents kept telling me repeatedly, you know, you need to set a good example for your sisters. I took that on as a job and I took it very seriously as a little kid, right? I would get praised for not throwing a fit or not speaking up or not being difficult. Thank you for being so accommodating. Thank you for going along with this. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. So naturally, as I progressed in my life, I became the ultimate people pleaser, which didn't serve me at all.
Yeah, of course.
You know, something that Lacey's work taught me when I first started doing a lot of these workshops, I had a lot of anger and resentment towards my parents because of the way that I was brought up. And because it was very opposite of my authentic code and what I should, the way I should have been living, right? Like based on my emotions. And I was taught not to do that at all. Continuing to do this process has showed me the complete opposite as I start to continue to do it and to have more compassion for them. Because I realized through time, my parents just didn't know any better. They grew up in a society that had communism and they were taught, if you see something, don't say something. So I think there was a lot of fear in that society at the time. And then I realized that it wasn't their fault. You know, that's how they were raised.
Yeah. And I think too, like when you're going through this work and any sort of work that you're diving into, the dynamics or programming you may have picked up as a child or doing any sort of inner child work, there is a good period of going through the stages of grief, you know, because you're angry because your eyes are open to this whole new level of understanding of like, whoa, I didn't get all these things that were like very clearly I needed from this. And angry because you didn't get that and you were supposed to be the child and the parents were supposed to take care of you and you almost feel like fooled. But then you kind of move into the acceptance phase where you're like, oh, okay, well, I let all my feelings of anger go through and maybe they bubble up here and there, but ultimately the anger is not serving. The next layer of that is finding like empathy. And again, like it's very different depending upon how traumatic the events were at home. But I think touching on all those phases is really common when going through inner child work.
Yeah. And I think a lot, like one of the limiting beliefs that I found doing a lot of Lacey's workshops was, you know, that you have to struggle to get anything in life, that you have to struggle to succeed. And that's definitely, you know, a very Russian mentality and culture. Like, don't ask for too much. Be grateful for every single thing that's given to you. When did being grateful become settling? Why can't I be appreciative and grateful for every opportunity that's come my way, but also at the same time, refuse to settle and stay my worth at the same time? I mean, why does it have to be one extreme or the other extreme?
Yeah.
No wonder I had so many, as you'll continue to hear, I had so many tests and so many magic darks and so many rock bottoms constantly over and over again, because I had this subconscious belief that I needed to go through all these struggles to get anything good. It wasn't like, oh, I know my manifestation's close. It was like, okay, I'm ready for the next test. Like, why did I constantly think that I needed to be tested 500 times to get to that point? Why did I think it had to be so difficult to get there?
I think that's something that comes up for so many people. I hear that a lot is like, oh, you know, it's not coming through. It's not coming through. Or there's more and more and more. And there's definitely manifestations, especially bigger manifestations that I've called through that it takes a long time. And it's because there's a lot of inner work that needs to be uncovered. And it's kind of showing up in those smaller ways throughout that process. But for things need to be difficult, like what are just some ways in which that has shown up for you? And like ways in which you've, besides just manifesting, like is there other things in life where, you know, things must be a struggle in order for good things to happen? Like what are some examples of that that's happened in your life?
Where do I begin? I mean, everything from even like the way I was tested. I mean, I've done every single workshop, a lot of them, almost every one of them more than once and several times. I do the DREs on a daily basis. You know, being a Scorpio, I'm really intense. That was a shadow word that I had to work through, that people always told me I was too intense, too much. And that's, I went through the shadow workshop more than once with that word because it was so triggering for me. People would always call me too emotional, too intense, or, you know, you're just too much. Just reel it in a little bit, reel it in a little bit. Again, like trying to lessen myself to make other people more comfortable with me being around. And things like Unblocked No, which was also a really good workshop for me because boundaries were essentially important. And that was another way that I was tested constantly with the struggle aspect, right? Where I would set a boundary and people would push back in my life because they got used to me people pleasing. So now all of a sudden I'm doing all this inner work on myself and I start setting all these boundaries with people. And I was actually very surprised at how many people in my life pushed back against the boundaries. And it was also, I have to take accountability for the fact that I didn't set those boundaries in the first place. Why did these people feel so comfortable pushing against my boundaries when I set them? It's because I was such a people pleaser that I set this precedent that made them feel comfortable that even when I set a boundary, they could push back against it. I had a really hard time because there were friendships that also fizzled and faded out and came to a close because I started to realize also that those friendships weren't serving me either. Like I said, even in my tests, doing something as simple as setting a boundary, like, okay, I'm not going to be okay with doing this anymore. We have to do this instead. And having people constantly push back, whereas maybe somebody else in a different situation would set that boundary and other people would respect it. But because I had this subconscious belief that, oh, I need to struggle to get anything, even something as simple as setting a boundary, which would be an easy thing for maybe someone else, had to be a struggle for me, right? Because I kept getting pushed back for it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's such a powerful thing because that is like perfectly said about the energetics of it, because you subconsciously thought, okay, well, setting boundaries must be really difficult. And this is how I was raised in the programming I have. It was very difficult. How did you start to pull apart some of the layers of that everything has to be a struggle?
Obviously, working through the workshops. Originally, I started with How to Manifest, and I did Unblocked Money first, and then Shadow, and I did Unblocked No. And I actually waited till the very last. I did every single workshop that I could possibly do before I did Inner Child. I think I was definitely procrastinating and trying to avoid that one the most. And turns out that was the one I needed to do the most. So when I finally did that, that was very, I think that's when a lot of the anger towards my parents turned to compassion and understanding and empathy, because I felt a lot of healing through a lot of those days in the workshop that I didn't get in some of the others. Because I realized a lot of this programming was things that, you know, was taught by my parents, again, through no fault of their own. And once I did Inner Child, that's really when things started to shift a little bit more about the struggle. And then also I went back and then I did Unblocked Money again. And I went through, okay, why do I feel like I need to struggle to make money? Okay, this is a limiting belief that I was brought up with. You know, things don't come as easy, you know, things you have to struggle to get things. And once I had my eyes opened after doing Inner Child, I had to go back and redo a lot of the other workshops as well with that different perspective.
Yeah. When you first came to the work, what were you primarily calling in? Like, what was on your original list? What were you looking to? Because I imagine as you went back through the workshops a second time, your list probably shifted, right?
Yeah, my list changed actually several times. Originally, I didn't know what I wanted. I just knew there was more and I wanted more. I didn't have like a clear, like, oh, I want this and I want this and I want that. Even though I'm a specific manifester, I just knew. So I originally found Lacey on the Goop podcast. And then I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm really resonating with the way she talks about this work. Because I had done Law of Attraction. I had done vision boarding. I had done affirmations. I had done all that other stuff that you hear about until, like Lacey says, I was blue in the face. And it just wasn't resonating with me, you know, being who I am, you know, like a Russian from the East Coast, grew up there. Like, I'm all about, like, tell me what I need to do. Show me the real deal. Like, I don't want to hear the fluffy stuff. Like, show me what's
the action
down. Yeah, yeah. Show me the action. Like, show me the honesty underneath everything.
Yes.
Like, I don't want any of that fluff on top. I want to know, like, what do I actually need to do to get to this point? So I think I really resonated with the way she was talking about things and the authenticity that came through. And then I started listening to her on other podcasts and I was like, I really need to do this work. And so I signed up for the pathway, and this was, I think, June of last year. And I started, as I started doing the workshops, I started to create my list. One of the things I wanted to manifest was a different job. Weight loss was on there.
Oh, I'm so interested to hear about this because this is a huge one that I go through.
Yeah. Weight loss was on there. Everything from, you know, a partnership, a pet sitter. I had a lot of, this is an area I was tested in constantly also, because I would like to go on the East Coast and visit my family or take weekend trips away with my friends and stuff. And I have a cat, so I would have to hire a pet sitter to come in and watch her. And I would actually had some really interesting and not so great experiences with pet sitters. So I think I put like a very specific type of pet sitter that I wanted that I put on my list, and some like free hair services, because I have so much hair, I hate doing my hair. It's like, oh, I want to get like a free blowout. Let's see if that works. And oh, I was complaining about parking in LA. So I wrote free parking down, which I get free parking all the time now, everywhere I go, which is huge in LA.
How? Is the meter just like full when you're there?
Well, it's really funny, because usually what happens is I'll drive up and someone happens to be pulling out of a spot as I'm pulling in front of somewhere. It happens all the time. Or I'll pull into a meter and there happens to be like a half hour more money left on there, and I only have to run in somewhere for 15 minutes. I mean, that happens all the time now.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, which is a big deal in LA. It's really hard to find parking everywhere.
Really is.
Yeah. I mean, and then I put like some clothing items and some other, you know, materialistic things. But I think also I wanted to feel a sense of peace, which I didn't feel before. And that was really important to me also.
What I really like about your list too is that it kind of encompasses a bunch of different levels of manifesting in a way, where you have some like free parking or, you know, a free blowout or a discounted blowout or whatever it may be. And then these are these like tangible physical items, but then you go into like, well, a good pet sitter, and that, you know, is manifesting in a certain dynamic of another person. So that requires a different level of a trust muscle. And then really, it seems like the big stuff you kind of came for was overall confidence and shedding some of these painful, like limiting beliefs, and more the deeper stuff. And that stuff obviously takes more time, but utilizing this process to get some of those smaller things can help like reinforce getting back to your intuition, reinforcing your trust muscle. It's almost like they're like bridge manifestations along the route.
Yeah. I was so focused because I did have, you know, a new job that I wanted to get. And I had some other things on my, you know, like a partnership on my list and the big things, right? So I was so focused on those huge things coming through that I wasn't even noticing that I was getting the little manifestations. You know, the universe was sending me little signals here and there, but I was so focused on the big picture, I wasn't even noticing the little stuff coming through. I don't even think I realized how much I manifested until I went back and wrote everything down. I was like, oh, wow, that was on my list. I manifested that. I also avoided for a long time. I avoided writing and doing the journaling aspects of it, because I was like, oh, this is just another thing for me to do. And I'm not a good writer. And why do I have to write everything? Why can't I just listen to everything? Why can't I just listen to the DREs? Why do I have to write? I really strongly implore everyone to write as much as possible, especially if they're trying to procrastinate in that aspect of the work, because it wasn't until I wrote things down and started to see things on paper that I really realized, oh, wow, this is happening. Oh, wow, this is coming through, and this is coming through. But when you're like involved in the day to day and you're focusing on your triggers and your tests and all this stuff, it's really hard to notice those little things if you're being distracted by the other stuff. And it's not until you write things down. I'm also a perfectionist. So part of my struggle with the work and the reason why I was dog paddling for so long was I had tests and then I would have a magic dark. And then I would have more tests and then I would have a magic dark. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in the magic dark. The manifestation is going to come through again. And then I would have another test and then another magic dark. And I think for me, I was so focused on, well, I'm doing this work to a T exactly how Lacey is saying I should be doing it in the workshops. And I'm doing it like this, and I'm doing it like that, and I'm doing it like this. And my perfectionism is like, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm doing that. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Why isn't that? But I realized because I wasn't supposed to be doing it that way for me. I was supposed to be doing it a different way.
Yes, yes.
So I really resonate with water and being around water. Like, I'm the person that stays 10 minutes too long in the shower because I just like the feel of the water on my back, right? It's just like very grounding for me. I was a competitive swimmer for almost 10 years when I was younger. And, you know, I would do the DREs and the DIs while walking, and that would help and stuff. But I also got a ping one day to buy a waterproof Bluetooth speaker that I put in my shower, and I would connect my phone to the speaker in the shower. Sometimes I would do DIs in the shower because it was very grounding for me. Obviously, if anyone's doing this, to make sure you get a waterproof or water resistant speaker. But I feel like it wasn't until I gave myself permission to do it a different way that things started to shift for me, because I was so focused on the perfectionism of doing the workshops exactly the way that they were lined up to do that I realized my process is a little bit different.
I think that's so important. Even looking at the energetics of that, right? Like the fact that you were doing everything to the T, how you were told to do it, and it's not coming through. And it's almost like you're in like this dog paddling mode of like, I'm doing all the stuff. I'm getting the assignment done right as it should be. Why is it not happening? Part of this work is connecting to yourself and connecting to your intuition and connecting to what you need. And so, yes, there are ways that you can navigate the work, and, you know, how Lacey's navigated the work and how it works for her, especially for those people who are like, oh, I'm doing it and nothing's coming through. It's not working. Where are you resisting because of fear, right? And like not, let's say not journaling because you're like, oh, I don't need to do that, whatever. But then also, where are you thinking that this work has to be so perfect? Can I lay down during the DI? Can I do this? Do I have to, you know, visualize this? It's like, no, make it whatever works for you. Like, use this as a tool to really support you along this process. And everyone's different. And you really have to tap into your inner guidance system and let that come forward and be like, well, I like it better when I do it like this. You know, I think Heather was such a good expander for so many people because she was like, hey, I'm going to tell you this shit really worked for me and I did it different. And this is how I did it.
100%. And she was a huge expander for me because I saw her on the manifestation tour back in November. And once she got on stage and started talking about how her process was a little bit different, I was like, whoa, oh, I don't have to do it perfectly. I don't have to do this. I have to do the work, right? I can't expect to just write a list and everything to come, you know, on my doorstep tomorrow morning. I still have to do the work to get there. And I didn't get visualizations in my DIs. I didn't visualize things. And so I thought I was doing it wrong for a long time. I'm like, I'm not seeing anything. I don't see anything. And another part of the whole perfectionism thing is I would then beat myself up and be like, how am I doing this wrong? Why is this not working for me? Why don't I get visualizations, or why don't I do this? And I didn't realize that my pings were coming in a different way. My visualizations were coming in differently. I would get pings sometimes in my sleep. In my dreams, something would come in so strongly, and I don't normally remember my dreams. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, whoa, I need to do that.
Wow.
Sometimes I would do a DI and nothing would come through at all. And then I would do DI the next day, or I would do one in the morning, one at night, one the next morning, one the next night, nothing would come through. And then I'd be sitting in my car driving, sitting in LA traffic, and all of a sudden a ping comes through or something comes through out of nowhere when I didn't expect it. So if my process is different, why was I so focused on the perfectionism of doing the work exactly the right way? Mm-hmm. When that's not how my process was supposed to go.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important that people really trust that how it's coming through for them is right. You know, like, it doesn't make it wrong if your ping or visualization or download comes 2 days later, 3 days later, a week later. You're loosening stuff up in the DI, even if you're not having visualizations, even if memories aren't coming through, you're giving yourself a habit to honor yourself and put your self-care needs first, which is super important. But then two, you're loosening things up. You're getting into that hypnotic state. You're getting your brain comfortable with going there. And sometimes, especially, I know when people go through inner child, there can be a lot of like traumatic things that are really deep in there. And you might be doing the DIs for a month and things aren't going to come through because it just might not be the right time for you to process all of that stuff. And that's okay.
Yeah. And you also have to remember, I mean, I'm 34. This is 34 years of programming that I had, mm-hmm. right? I had this programming, whether it was from family, whether it was from society, whether it was from bosses, whether it was from friends, whether it was from TV and things I see on social media. So why did I think that overnight my programming would just change? You're literally unblocking years and years and years of this programming that you have. So I was beating myself up constantly for not even doing the work the right way. It was like a hamster in a hamster wheel, right? I would do it the right way, and then I'd beat myself up for not manifesting. And then I would do it a different way, and then I would beat myself up for doing it a different way. This is like my internal process that I had. So I was in such a state of desperation, and I kept hearing people say that they had to just surrender. And that would also piss me off. And I'd be like, what the fuck does that even mean? What
do you mean?
How do I surrender? Like, like, stop giving me the fluff and tell me the real deal. Like, how do I get there?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, thanks for telling me to surrender. That word means nothing to me because I don't know how to get there. And I think it was more about just exactly what you said. You need to listen to yourself. I think I was so caught up with getting advice from other people. For example, I love all the manifestation stories that you have on the website, and you can find so many great expanders. The problem for me was I don't read only what I need to read. I read everything. That's, again, a problem that I had with this process for myself that I did to myself. I was reading everybody's stories. So then I started comparing my manifestations to other people's. Oh, well, they did this and they got their manifestation in 2 or 3 months. So I must be doing something wrong because 6 months later, I still haven't gotten what I wanted. And I'm not saying that the testimonials aren't amazing. They're incredible. But
you were using it against yourself.
Yeah. Like, really use your own discernment and read what you need to read. Don't pay attention to what other people are doing and if it's going to hold you back and cripple you. And I was so used to asking for outside validation. Like, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? That I wasn't even listening to myself. And when I started listening to myself and I started to really accept that my process was different and the way that I do the DIs is going to be different, once I started accepting that, I was able to really listen to the stuff that was coming through and then start listening to the pings and then start taking action steps towards them. And that's when stuff really started to shift. But I think I was so caught up with like the constant desperation. I was complaining about surrendering, but I was desperately I mean, it was honestly just a vicious circle over and over again.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look back to some of the programming that you talked about from childhood, you were told, do as you're told, follow directions, you're, you know, the leader to your siblings, you have this specific role that you need to fill and follow, and you have to do it right and not complain about it. And this is that repeating itself.
Yeah. I think for me, also part of the process was not just listening to myself, but after so many tests and so many magic darks, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to give up constantly. I was like, I cannot handle one more fucking test. I can't. And some of the tests that came through were triggers for me.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and I'd get triggered by something someone would say or something someone would do on a daily basis. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I really can't handle one more thing. And then I realized it's because I needed to continue doing the work. I needed to continue unblocking. I needed to continue expanding. It's like if you go on a bike ride and you have a destination that you need to go to, and you're pedaling for like 2 hours, for example, right? You're exhausted at this point. And then you're almost at your destination, but suddenly you've been pedaling pretty flat the whole time. And now you're uphill. So what are you going to do? Are you going to give up like the 2 hours of work that you just did and turn around and go back? No, you're going to have to pedal even harder to get to that destination. And that's what continuously kept happening to me. I would constantly be tested to the point that I would want to give up. And that's when I had to push through even harder. And then I would almost break down. And then I'm like, no, get it together, Asha. Like, take this trigger through the trigger DI. Journal about it. Go back to your authentic self. Do the authentic DI. Depending on what was happening that day, I would do a DI with that, or I would go back and redo another workshop. And I had to constantly pedal through to get there.
I would also recommend, and this is something I did when I was kind of in that phase of the like, oh, fuck, is it ever going to come through? Like, what's happening? Bouncing between reinforcing DIs and unblocking DIs, because the unblocking and sort of like the reprogramming ones are amazing to work through those daily triggers. But sometimes your self-worth can be in such a state of like shambles. Like, you just feel like, who am I? What do I do? You feel like sunken in the middle. Doing those reinforcing DIs really brings you back to, wait, this is who I am. Like, this is who I am at my core. It's pure like love. How do I get back to that feeling of love and wholeness? And that's a really important thing to make sure you're adding into the practice, is continuing to reinforce who you really are at your soul level.
Yeah. And that one was actually my favorite DI, the reinforcing DI in the up-level workshop. That one I also did constantly. I mean, depending on what was triggering me or depending on what test was coming up, I would, you know, jump in between workshops or jump in between DIs or whatever I needed to do. And something else that was different for me in my process was I had some really great manifestations come through. And then suddenly I knew I was up leveling, and I kept doing the reinforcing DI. And then all of a sudden I was in a rut, and it caught me off guard because I was like, how am I in a rut right now when I've been up leveling for so long and all these manifestations are coming through? And then I redid the rut workshop, and there's a really good reinforcing DI in the rut workshop as well that then got me back to a better place, that then I was able to go back to up level again. But I think I had this also mentality of like, oh, I'm up leveling, so I can't be in a rut. You know, all the stuff is coming through. How am I in a rut if stuff is coming through? My process is a little bit different, so maybe I'm doing something wrong, right? So again, it's more about listening and really honoring your own process with how you have to do things. And for me, it wasn't so black and white. It wasn't so gray. You know, I wasn't like, oh, test, magic, dark, manifestation. Test, magic, dark, manifestation. Mine was like test, trigger, magic, dark. Test, trigger, magic, dark. Test. I mean, it was a lot of getting up and then getting knocked back down again, and then getting up and getting knocked back down twice. Of course, it was like that for me because my limiting belief was that I had to struggle the whole time, right? So no wonder my process was such a struggle.
Can you attribute the shift between the awareness of oh wow, I'm repeating that cycle of I need to struggle in this, and things starting to really kind of clear up and come through, and manifestations sort of come through? Like, was there a moment, a day, a week, a DI? What did that phase look like?
I think I started to call in more expanders, which started to show up because I thought I wasn't blocked enough. I thought I was expanded enough because I was like, I've been doing this work for months. I've been doing it for, you know, I'm an intense person. So if I'm going to do this work, like, I did one workshop in a whole day, and then I would do the next workshop in like 2 days, like, screw the 8 days that they, you know, that they tell you to do. Like, I'm just going to get it done all at once, right? Like, I'm going to throw myself into the fire. So I had put so much work into doing the work that I didn't realize that that was also holding me back. And again, that goes along with the whole desperation feeling that I had, right? Like, well, I'm doing this work. I'm doing it. Why isn't this happening? I'm doing it. Nothing's happening. And I think once I let go of that and really focused on doing more reinforcing stuff and focused on letting expanders come to me, come into my life, and just noticing the joy in things as opposed to, again, the struggle in things. So I think even something as little as pre-COVID, going to the gym and working out just to get like my endorphins up, or like spending time around people that didn't trigger me. And one of the things I manifested was a friendship group within this TBM community. And I remember when I went to the manifestation tour.
Yeah, this whole story is amazing.
So I remember I bought a ticket for the manifestation tour. This was back in November. And I showed up and I noticed everyone standing in line waiting to check in, you know, to confirm that they have a ticket. And I noticed everyone in line is in pairs or in groups. And I just bought a ticket. I just came by myself. I didn't have any friends in the community yet. And none of my friends were doing this work. So I was there by myself and I was standing in line. I was like, maybe I should have came with somebody. I was like starting to feel a little self-conscious being in line. I was like, everyone's here with someone. Maybe I should have brought someone. So I check in, I walk in, and there's a single seat in the front row that's right in the center that's by itself. Like everyone, a lot of people are already sitting down and there's one seat. And I start walking in. I was like, this is why I came by myself, because I'm supposed to sit there. And so I walk up and Atara Valentine is actually sitting in the seat next to it. And at the time I had no idea who this was. And I look at him, I'm like, is anybody sitting here? I'm like, are you saving the seat for anyone? He goes, nope, this seat's for you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sat down. I was like, hi, my name's Asha. What's your name? He's like, my name is Atara. And we start talking like, oh, how did you discover Lacey's work? Blah, blah, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, I've been doing Lacey's work for months now. I said, I just passed my last test and I'm in a magic dark. And he started laughing. He's like, who are you to say that this was your last test?
Oh my God.
I felt like I got hit by a truck. And I was like, whoa, he's so right. So that was definitely an expander that I met at the manifestation tour. And then Heather Whitaker was on stage during that. So she was another expander. And that event was really also a turning point for me, because when Lacey got off stage, I connected with several different women. And we all exchanged numbers and we're like, we all want a community of people that are doing this work, because no one in my life was doing the work. None of my friends were doing it. No one in my family was doing it. I felt alone for a long time when I was doing this work. And I felt like I couldn't really talk to anyone about it or anything like that. And I really needed that sense of community. So I went home and I wrote that on my list. And about like 2 weeks later, some of the women were in a group chat, reached out. We're like, oh, we're starting to get together. That was what turned into my TBM community, right? And I think that for me was also really changing and started shifting a lot of things for me, is when I found my own family and my own circle within the community. We would get together and we'd be like, okay, what's triggering you right now? What workshop are you doing? Like, what are you going through? Like, what's coming up? I mean, we would talk about really deep stuff and we were there really supporting and guiding each other. And to me, that was so important to me because it made me feel like I wasn't alone.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode in case you're hearing anything that is piquing your attention and you feel like you're ready to start your manifestation journey now. You can go ahead and use the code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase, or you can try our new 3-workshop bundle for beginners, the basics bundle. If you're ready to dive right into the Pathway membership, which you've been hearing about in this episode, you can use the same code to receive your first month off. The Pathway includes every single one of our workshops, as well as our monthly class supported, where we answer the most frequently asked questions that you send in. And if you're totally new to this work, this is your first time tuning in, or you've just been interested in what you've been hearing lately, I always encourage people to go click on the link below called The Motivation. It's our portal that houses every single one of our members' manifestations that they materialized, their testimonies, how they went about the process, and it's categorized. So whether you're looking for love, money, career, I mean, there's a slew in there of what you can find. Not to mention, you're already beginning the manifestation practice, because as you read those, you're expanding. You're seeing to believe what's possible for you. And if you just want to get a taste of what the workshops are like and our deep imagining process, I suggest clicking the link below and checking out the free clarity exercise. In that exercise, you'll get a taste for our journal process, the hypnosis process, and you'll even get some aha unblocking moments. The pathway provides the most bang for your buck with 12 months of all access to every single one of our workshops, our members-only community group, for just 12 payments of $27 per month. Again, the code is EXPANDED for $20 off any purchase or your first month. Check out the show notes to learn more about our offerings. All right, back to this episode.
I think the really cool thing too that you mentioned is like people who are doing this work are all at different phases and different levels, and everyone just has their own path and their own timing.
But for me, because I'm such an intense person, I needed an intense community. Those could then be expanders for me, because an expander for me is not someone who's just dabbling a little bit in the work, or, you know, just doing one workshop every couple of months and not really actively engaging in it. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, right? If that's the level, if that's where you're at right now. But for me, because I was so intensely doing the work, I needed in my community to have people that were also just as intensely doing the work that could relate to my level of intensity about it.
Exactly. You had mentioned in your submission about with celebrity expanders in particular, you always had the like, even if you were working with them, you said they would come about and you'd be like, well, they got there because of this. And you always had like a exception for them. And so finding those real life expanders, those in-person expanders were so, so vital for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I moved to LA 5 years ago, I started working in the entertainment industry, and I've, you know, throughout the 5 years, I've been around a lot of very expansive and a lot of A-listers and celebrities and stuff. And, you know, some of them I would see on a daily basis. For me, even though I was around these people in person every day, they weren't the best expanders for me because, you know, I would always see that they would have teams of people working with them and people that would help them and guide them, you know. But for me, it wasn't as expansive because I would almost make excuses like, well, this person can't really expand me because they have like an assistant that's working for them full time, or this person can't really expand me because they have a nanny that's helping, or this person can't really expand me because of this or that.
Or a personal trainer that's always there, a nutritionist.
Yeah, they have a nutritionist or a personal trainer, right? When it comes to like, because I put weight loss on my manifestation list, which I did manifest. So, oh, of course, it's easy for them to lose weight. They have a chef that works at home and a personal trainer that can, you know, all these things. And when I started to ask for more real life expanders, I think for me, I was always like a really good, like every boss I've ever had has always told me like, Asha, you're a great problem solver, right? Like my job was always to like find the problems and fix them. So I was very good at letting other people be in the spotlight, letting other people, you know, be on stage. And I was always the person in the background, making sure everything was running. And so for me, a lot of expanders, like you were definitely a huge expander for me in that. And another expander was Elise Lonen, who worked at Goop. She was a huge expander for me because, look, she works side by side with someone like Gwyneth, but she's not, you know, she's not a celebrity necessarily, but she's shining in her own light as well.
Yes.
Right? She's not just like in the background like I was for a lot of high-powered people that I was working for, right? I got used to uncomfortable being in the background and making sure everything was running in all these other people's lives so that everything was running smoothly. So, of course, I didn't think, you know, I needed to find expanders that were similar to where I was at. How could a celebrity be an expander for me when I was so used to helping run behind the scenes of everything for them?
Mm-hmm. I love that you bring up Elise too, because she's a huge one for me, because I, you know, obviously working for Lacey, everyone is obsessed, loves Lacey, her brand, her company. And so coming in, I was like, how do I fit in here? You know, like, how do I be myself, but also support these people that are really here for Lacey and they don't really care to hear from me? And so she's been such a great expander of like, okay, I can have my own style, opinions, voice that is aligned with the brand. And I'm still cultivating that. That's one of the biggest things on my manifestation list right now, is continuing to cultivate that. So yeah, she's a really, really great one.
Yeah, because we're so used to seeing these people be in the spotlight, but we don't see everything else. Well, I did. I saw everything else that was happening behind the scenes, right? Of everyone else that helps run this very well-oiled machine. So for me, I needed to find more expanders like you, like Elise, in my life that are in similar positions where they're working next to or side by side with these people that are in the spotlight, but they can still have their own voice. They can still be heard. They can still be seen. Just because they're standing next to this person does not mean they have to sit in the shadow of that person.
Yeah, I think that's so important for anyone that's definitely for people who work in entertainment. That's so common. But even people who maybe have like a really important executive boss and they're working under that boss and they don't feel like they can have a voice compared to that in like the corporate world, or maybe they have a really dominating partner. And how do they have a voice if their partner is so extroverted or whatever, and they might be more introverted? It's really looking for those expanders who it's not either or, it's and. You can be both of those things at the same time.
100%.
I love that. So go into the weight loss. I'm so interested by this. As someone who's struggled with tons of body stuff, I'm so interested to hear how weight loss kind of came through for you.
Well, I didn't realize it, but weight loss had a lot to do with my emotions, and being someone who grew up taught not to express my emotions as much, I didn't realize how much my body was holding on to extra weight. And being someone who got used to, you know, for 5 years, I worked for various different people in the entertainment industry, and I was used to, you know, being in the background. So subconsciously, I was holding on to all this extra weight because it was safe for me to be in the background. If I lost weight, that means people would start noticing and they would be paying attention to me. I really wanted to be seen and heard, you know, my authenticity is to be seen and heard. But subconsciously, I wasn't losing weight because I had a fear of being seen and heard. So of course, I was dieting, I was exercising, I was eating really healthy, and the weight still wasn't coming off. Because again, my perfectionism, I was like, well, I'm doing all the right things. Why isn't this coming off? Why isn't this coming off? I had no idea that there was so much still that I had to unblock around the weight loss. I really had to go through a lot of the DIs and the workshops and feel comfortable with being seen again and being heard. I really felt like I was silenced for so long that I had to really step into that and taking those fears of, what are the risks with that? Like, why do I have a fear around this, right? So I'm not saying, you know, I woke up one morning and like, you know, 30 pounds was gone, but I was eating healthy and I was exercising and magically the weight started coming off finally. Because subconsciously I was telling myself it was safe to be seen and I didn't need to hold on to the weight anymore. The health and body DRE was huge for me with that. It was huge because there's a part in that DRE where Lacey says, and I don't remember the words verbatim, but she says, you know, in your body is releasing any extra weight to hold on to make you feel safe. And that for me, I kept doing that DRE over and over again, but not just listening to it, like really feeling it, right? Like letting my subconscious know it's okay to be seen. It's okay to be heard. You're safe. You're safe. You don't need to hold on to this weight to protect you. It wasn't until I started taking those through that I also approached exercising in a different way, right? Like before I was doing it like with this motive of, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight. And now it was more of like, I'm safe to exercise because it's safe for me to be seen and I'm doing something good for my body. Like I had to constantly remind myself of that when I would go to the gym and I would push myself or I would eat something, you know, I'd make a healthier, more conscious decision about what I was putting in my mouth and what I was eating. It wasn't like, oh, I'm doing this so this weight comes off, because that's what I kept telling myself for so long. It was more, I'm doing this because I'm nourishing my body. I'm doing this because I want to feel good. And two, it was the intention behind, you know, like I would dread going to the gym, but I would force myself to do it. Right? I would sit there and be like, ugh, I hate this. I'm only doing it for an hour. And then I'd be like miserable because I'd have to go to the gym. Then I started changing my mentality towards it and started thinking, no, I'm doing this because I want to be seen. I'm doing this because I want to be heard. I'm doing this because I feel safe. I'm doing this because I'm doing something good for my body. Moving is good for my body. That's when things started to shift for me. It wasn't like, oh, I changed my workout and I started to lose weight. No, I was doing the same workout, but I changed how I was looking at it. And I changed my mentality going into the gym, and I changed how I felt about it afterwards.
I think what's interesting about, you know, body image and weight loss and all of that stuff is it's so complex and there's so many layers and there's so much messaging out there. There is no quick fix, but what I really like about your story in particular is that you shifted the focus from this material thing of weight loss to I want to be seen. And where am I connecting my weight with something that's at my core want or desire?
I had to find expanders also that weren't, you know, a size zero, right? It was limiting me when I thought that like you had to be skinny to be successful and you had to be skinny
to be seen.
Yeah, to be seen. And it's like, oh no, it's not really safe to be seen because like if you want to be seen, you have to be fit into this size clothes or you have to like portray a particular body type that makes other people comfortable to look at.
Mm-hmm. There's so much programming.
So much
there.
Programming, yeah. And not just culturally, but societally also. And I think I had to stop looking at that and focus on, again, listening to myself.
I think the other thing too in that health and body DI, which is really helpful, is I think there's a point in which you visualize like you and your authentic body. For anyone trying to have a healthy relationship with their body, that will look so different to each individual.
100%.
You might have an idea of this perfect body that from going through your authentic code and unblocking, you realize, whoa, that's not even actually my authentic body. That's my authentic body that I thought it should be per societal standards or per, external standards. And the more you kind of unblock, you realize your authentic body is actually something very different, or maybe you're a lot closer to your authentic body than you had thought. The idea of what can be is infinite, and we just really have to pull back all of those layers and be honest with ourselves as we're going through it.
Yeah, and I feel like for me that was, it wasn't the intention, oh, I need to lose weight to you know, look good naked, and I need to lose weight to be super skinny. It wasn't about that. It wasn't because, oh, I have this perception that I need to be this size because everyone's telling me I need to be this size. I felt it in my core that the extra weight I was holding on to was not authentic for me. I felt like I wanted the weight loss on my list and I had to, that's a manifestation that also came through for me. It wasn't because I was like, oh, I need to be skinny because society expects me to be skinny. No, it's because authentically, like when I had the extra weight on me, I didn't feel good. And if you don't feel good, how can you really be authentic and go into authenticity and manifest the things you want if you're doing all this unblocking and reprogramming, and then you look at your body and you feel like shit.
Yeah. Like I said, this whole topic is, I'm sure we'll touch on it in other episodes and such, because it's such a huge one for so many people. And I think you said it really well, is just get back to what is authentic to your body and why it's authentic to your body from a place of like, how do I feel most like myself?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. So back to all of the other amazing things you have manifested along this journey, what else kind of came through? And I guess, was there a very clear shifting point in which you realized you were in next level? You know, when you had a bunch of things come through and you realized you were going to that next phase, you weren't in that dog paddling phase, you weren't going through the, oh, things have to be difficult part.
Yeah. Again, once I started spending more time with my TBM community and starting to really focus on the expanders in my life. And for me, I out of nowhere had gotten a call from, so I had quit my job last year in August and I, you know, jumped off a cliff and I was really magnetic immediately. I had like 6 job interviews within a few weeks and I felt really in my worth and I was doing this work and I was like, no, that's not the right thing. No, that's not the right thing. No, that's not the right thing. I kept saying no because, you know, it wasn't the right thing. And everyone around me thought I was crazy. Like, oh, you just quit your job. Just like take the first thing that comes to you. And then I had a magic dark, started working with a recruiter. And then I went on like weeks and weeks of interviews for this one company. And that was definitely a dangly carrot test, 100%. They basically were ready to give me everything I wanted, but they were like, oh, but you know, we can't pay you for like the first 2 weeks of work. I was like, well, this is a very difficult test. So, but no, you know, my self-worth is too high. Yeah. I mean, besides that, everything else in the job was definitely everything else that I had put on my list. And then I was in another magic dark and I didn't hear back anything from this recruiter for a while. And I kept, you know, unblocking and doing all this work. And right before COVID, I had heard back from this recruiter out of nowhere. And I kind of just, and I hate that I'm using this word, but right before that, I had kind of surrendered.
What did surrendering look like for you?
To me, it was more like, I can't take anymore. So I know something is coming. I just know something is coming. I'm just surrendering to whatever that is. No more dog paddling, no more pushing, no more trying. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I had to just let go. Like I felt like I was almost holding on to something and I had to release it. I couldn't hold on anymore.
It's almost like you exhausted it.
But that's really what it was for me. And I think for me, another common misconception was I thought I would feel amazing after every test that I quote unquote passed. And I didn't. In fact, I felt like shit after a lot of them, you know, because they pushed me so hard. And I assumed like, oh, I'm so in my worth. I'm going to feel so good about saying no to this. And I'm so in my worth. I'm going to feel so good about saying no to that. But a lot of tests, like I would break down and I would cry and I would question like, oh, I was in my self-worth when I said no, but then I would go back and like, oh, was that a test? I don't know. Was that this? And it was just a sense of exhaustion that I don't want to say gave up because I didn't give up on the work, but I was almost forced to surrender. Like I had no other choice.
You gave up on the perfectionism of it.
Yeah, I gave up on the perfectionism and I gave up on the pushing.
Yeah.
And so I heard back from this recruiter and it had been months. And, you know, she said, are you still looking? And I said, yeah, of course I'm still looking. And she said, well, I have the perfect opportunity for you. So I had always worked for men in the entertainment industry. And originally when I had wrote my list, I put that I wanted to work for a female and like for a specific company. I was so focused on it being that I had to work for a female. I want to be around expanders, so they have to be female. And I want to be around, you know, because I was always worked for men in the entertainment industry. And I was so focused on like, oh, I'm a specific projector, so specific manifester. So that's what I need to focus on, the specifics of my list. And once I let go of that, I got a ping to kind of like surrender to that and let go of it. I crossed it off my list and I said, I need to focus on everything else on this list. And maybe I don't need to focus so much on the specifics of working for a female and working for a particular company and working for this. And once I let go of that on my list and crossed it off and surrendered to that, I had heard back from this recruiter and it had been months and months and months of nothing. And I heard back and she said, listen, I have a potential opportunity. This person is looking for somebody very unique and with a special skill set. And it's a male in the industry. And, you know, are you still available? Do you want to interview? And it was crazy because it came through and I didn't expect it to. And I think that I was slightly jaded by working for men in the industry that I was so focused on trying to go work for a female that it didn't even occur to me that the manifestation bridge job that could come through could be from a male. And once I, again, let go of the whole female aspect, that's when the opportunity came through. I was also tested in that regard because there was like, you know, weeks of interviews and stuff, but I was tested in that regard because I was very much out of my element, even in the interview. When I had this job interview, you know, everything had shut down already at that point or just started to shut down. Nothing was open. He's like, let's just have an interview. We'll go to the beach in Venice. It was so bizarre. He's like, let's go to the beach in Venice and, you know, we'll just make sure it's the right fit and, you know, I'll interview you. It was very interesting for me because I was like, oh my God, what do I do now? I'm out of my element. I can't like show up in a blaze, you know, in a suit and heels to a beach.
To the beach.
Like,
yeah.
You know, obviously we'll be doing a social distancing, you know, interview, but that also was a test for me because I was so out of my element with even my appearance. I think I had also that crutch like, oh, as long as I look professional interview and I know that he's going to be staring at my resume, he sees everything on there and he's going to ask me questions. But it's like, I wasn't prepared or ready for a casual walk on a beach. What do I do with that? I'm like, This is, yeah. So, and someone else maybe would say like, that's so cool. You know, that's so out of the box. So cool. But for me, that was a test. I remember driving up and I was sitting in my car and I got there early on purpose and I did the authentic DI. And there was a part in the authentic DI that says, go into a job interview fully in your worth and not dependent on the outcome. And that really hit me. So I show up, he's interviewing me, asking me questions. At one point during the interview, he looked at me and said, what are you looking for in an employer? And that hit me so hard because I was so used to trying to prove myself constantly. And again, that quote unquote struggle, that it was so refreshing to be in an interview where someone looks at you and says, well, what do you want out of someone you work for?
I love that. Every employer should ask that.
Yeah. And I remember I was so in my, I think the authentic DI really helped, but I was so in deservingness at that point. And I was so in my worth. I was very authentic and answered honestly with everything. Normally it would have scared me because I would have been like, don't say too much. Like, you know, maybe he's going to rescind the offer, or maybe he's going to this, or maybe this is going to happen, or maybe that's going to happen. Like normally I'd have that subconscious belief looping through, but I was so in deservingness and so in my worth that I was like, no, this is me. This is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And this is my value. And yeah, I mean, I got the offer a week later and that was, you know, really profound. I think I went in my car and cried.
Oh.
And that's another thing that I said to myself, you know, whether this comes through or not, it doesn't matter because I was very authentic. I stood up for myself. I said exactly what I needed to say. And it's either this or something better. I know that now.
I love that. That is the exact energetic of worthiness and deservingness. Is like, it doesn't matter if this comes through or not. I'm so grateful for it. But I know I gave everything authentically from me and this or something better. I love that.
And it wasn't like forced, right? Before, leading up to that point, I was like, I trust that it's coming. I trust that it's coming. I trust that it's coming. I kept saying that, but I didn't really believe it. You know, I kept saying, I know it's coming. I know my manifestation's around the corner. I know this, I know that. But there's a difference between saying it and saying it and it actually happening energetically, right? Like where, how are you saying it? Where is it coming from? Where are the energetics behind how you're saying it?
Ramit says this, which is, you know, my money is good money. And I think taking that idea and that practice to other things too, where it's like, my skills are good skills. Like even when you're in a job interview and it feels like the power dynamic is the person hiring you has all the power and you're just going to be an employee. And so you have to be more apologetic and do whatever they want and do whatever they have to say. Like, your skills are good skills and they deserve to be rewarded for them. And so I think keeping that in mind when people are going to interviews and when you're working for someone, it's an energetic exchange. If you're just giving and not getting anything out of it, it's not going to be beneficial to both parties. Like you both have to be getting something out of it. Sometimes, I guess, for people that might be money, but for other people, it might be to feel seen, to feel heard, to get a chance to grow, to feel valued, all of these other things. And recognizing that, especially we're at a time where a lot of companies are being held accountable in a way that they really haven't before. And I think now more than ever is such an amazing time to really double down on all the amazing things you have to offer. And knowing that when you're working with someone, it is an exchange and to stay in your worth. And I imagine people, you know, coming out of COVID, are a lot of people are going to be looking for new jobs, knowing that these people probably need to hire a lot of new staff or employees. And your skill set is a good skill set and deserves to be valued.
Exactly. These people need to hire someone. So why can't it be you? Why can't you be the one that shows up in your worth into that interview and show why you should be the one to get hired? And I'm so happy you actually brought up Ramit because he's also a big expander for me because he came from an immigrant family as well. And it was probably on this podcast that I heard him say a lot of the immigrant families that came in were all about surviving and not thriving. And I think that has a lot to do with, again, the limiting beliefs that I had and that he grew up with that we can all kind of relate to, right? It's like, don't ask for too much. Like, you know, we should be so grateful we were even welcomed into this country that, you know, don't ask for anything extra. Don't, you know, just be okay with settling with whatever is given to you.
And then if you live in a society that reinforces that by any means, you're going to be like you were, triggered daily, test daily, you know, all of those things, and just doubling down on the work, but also knowing how to caretake yourself through that process, because it is a lot to process. It's a lot on the nervous system.
Also, another thing is, again, everyone has a different process, but whatever gets you out of that place is what you need to do. So whether it's working out and moving, whether it's spending time with your friends, everyone has like that one, two, or three things that like gets their mind off of everything else that makes them happy. That's also really, really important. It's like, for me also, a turning point was when Lacey said, if you're in a magic dark, it's very exciting. And I was like, okay, what is she talking about? Because I'm miserable, you know? but she's like, it's very exciting because you can focus on things that make you happy. And I didn't really get it before.
Yeah.
Now looking back on it, it's so hard to know when you're in it. But now that I'm on the other side of it, I can see it clearly. If I had focused more on like the things that made me feel better, instead of focusing so much on the past and the things I should have changed or should have done, I was like, oh, I didn't pass that test. So I should have said this, I should have done that. Instead of focusing so much on like the perfectionism of it, focus more on like, all right, you know what? Let that go and like go hang out with your friends and go for a walk or go swimming or, you know, go paint or go sing or whatever you need to do to get yourself in that state of mind. It's crazy that I'm saying this right now because it was so hard for me to hear that when I was in it. I didn't get it.
Yeah, you almost need someone to like shake you up and be like, hey, stop focusing on all the negative things in your life. Like, what is it? Your bones in a meat sack on a rock flying through outer space or something. Like, you just have to go super macro for a second just to sort of like shake you out of that looping fear thought and just start looping in some positive, non-distorted thoughts.
Yeah, because it's all desperate. It's desperation. I was like, oh, I'm doing this work, but I was doing it desperately.
Yeah. And you're not alone. A lot of people do that. I've been there. I've been there multiple times and I've manifested great things, but it still comes up. And at least for me, like when huge things come through after my next level, I go into like a rock bottom afterwards. It just happens to be my patterning, you know, right. I'm tested in that again. And then you go through the whole process again. And I might go through a period of dog paddling or not deserving this, but maybe it's less intense than it was the first time.
But also you're aware of it now.
Yes. Yes.
That's the difference. And that's the change, right? You're now aware of it. So you can go through the process. I mean, not easily, but easier. And you have the tools now to do that. Versus being in it and being so unaware that you're in it.
And I think, yeah, for those people who are in the thick of it and aren't noticing, like, they're like, oh, I feel all of those things. Like, how do I get out of it? Just give yourself a little space to not have to do it all perfect and not have to get it all right now. Just one step at a time, one positive action, one even like micro step off a cliff is going to be helpful. It doesn't need to be perfect. Just keep going.
Yeah. And that, again, was a huge turning point for me.
And I think, too, one thing that'll be really helpful, another just big takeaway from this episode is like, you were taking certain things and using them against yourself, taking other people's, you know, how quickly they manifested something against yourself. I mean, I could even see people being like, well, I'm much older than 34, so I have more programming. It might take me so long. Like, don't use it against yourself. You're too good for that. Use it to support you. And if it doesn't support you, don't take it in.
Exactly. It's like when you go on social media, right? And we always talk about, again, use your own discernment and only take in what you need to take in that's going to help you.
Yeah. You have the power within yourself. You have the power to tap into your intuition, to know how to heal yourself mentally, physically, all of these things. Like, the power is within you. And these are just tools, and really remembering that, like not creating a power struggle with the tools. Have an energetic exchange with the tools. Use them to support you.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to reach out to people. Community was huge for me. You know, message someone. You see someone post in the Facebook group, send them a message, like connect with people. Don't feel like you're alone, and don't force yourself to feel like you're alone.
100%. I'm like still so excited and almost like fangirly when anyone DMs me about TVM work. I'm like, yay, so excited to talk about it. Like, it's just so exciting to see people caring about themselves enough to put in the work. People want to talk about it. So feel free to reach out and talk to people about it.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, Asha, this has been such an amazing episode. I feel like we could talk forever.
I know. Thank you so much.
It's just been so amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your story and really, really expanding people in such a different way, I think, than we haven't before. And we really encourage anyone going through their own process that may look different and may have come through different. That's okay. And also apply to be a guest, because then you can help expand other people too.
Yeah. I thought my story was different. And then once I realized, you know, my process was different, that's why exactly why I applied, because I was like, you know, maybe I can help expand someone. You know, my job maybe isn't to problem solve for every single person. Maybe my job is to problem solve myself so that I could expand other people so they know how to do it.
Oh, love that. Perfect ending note. Well, thank you so much. And we hope everyone has a beautiful weekend, and we will see you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a 1-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen in here at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our Black and BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.